Okay, so hello everybody. So we're talking about crystals today. First, we want to talk about crystals as consciousness. Well, everybody knows what a crystal is physically. But
Peter, before you get going, can I just pause you?
Yep.
Yeah, just need to do a little bit of stuff just before you get into your wonderful information. Mm-hmm. So crystal magic today, everyone, that we're going to be, Peter's going to be talking about in a second. And it's the follow-up to his blog that came out a couple of days ago. So his blog titled Crystal Magic, Amplifying Power and Increasing the Rate of Our Success. So that blog is available on his website. It should have come to your inbox as well. So we do have a couple of your questions pre-submitted. So thank you very much for that. We'll get to those questions in a moment. If anyone has any questions as Peter is speaking, as always, please do submit those in the chat. And today we start the Crystal Magic Early Bird Price, which lasts for 3 days. Admin, please confirm in the chat. That would be wonderful how long that is. Thank you very much when that expires. And the links will be coming to you. And then we'll give you an overview of what's in the new Crystal Magic course so that you can see exactly what it is that you are getting when you purchase this course. 3 days, wonderful, thank you very much. So that expires in 3 days' time. And we'll be showing you what is in there and we'll do that after Peter's talk and how this is going to help you amplify everything that you are doing. Because one of my favorite things that Peter has said is you have to be able to run quicker if you're ever going to be able to get anywhere. And crystals help you exactly with that. So thank you. The link to the article, the blog has just been posted. As I said, do write your questions in here. And we will be closing down, or we will be finishing at the hour, because we do have our Finding Your Soul's Purpose webinar after this. For those of you who have not yet registered but would like to join us for this workshop, this approximately 2-hour workshop that's going to be happening today at 11:30 UK time, if you still have the opportunity to join us, you can click on the link that I'll ask admin to put in the chat now, and you can purchase this as a one-off webinar that we're doing today, or workshop that we're doing today. But this workshop is part of our monthly magical membership. So this is the only one that you're able to purchase as a one-off for now. Ordinarily, this is part of the membership. So link to come. If you are part of the membership, see you there. Can't wait. If you are not and you want to join today, then you can purchase. It's normally $55, but today it is $40 for you as an introduction webinar, workshop. I keep saying webinar. I mean workshop, introduction workshop to the monthly membership. And it's going to be a wonderful and very interesting topic. Great. So that is there. All right. So I've told you about the upcoming workshop after this. I've told you the price. I've told you that we're talking about crystals now. I've told you that you're going to get an early bird discount for the Crystal Magic course in today's call. Link to come. That's it from me. Peter, now over to you. Thank you very much for your patience.
Okay, thank you. So, as I said, we're talking about crystals as consciousness. Everybody knows what a crystal is physically. The important thing to realize is there's something far more beyond this physical form, which is multidimensional. What we're seeing now is a crystallization of consciousness that's really multidimensional. A bit like the mice in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if you've ever seen that. This sort of intrusion into our reality of a pan-dimensional being. This is actually what crystals are. We see a crystalline form because its nature is crystalline, but actually multidimensional, and it is conscious. They have certain qualities, certain properties, certain aspects of consciousness, what we call graces, we're going to talk about. So the grace is what comes most naturally to us all. It's just like people, everybody has different powers, different qualities, different talents and so on. But we have certain human graces, which has come most natural to everybody. By grace is what comes most naturally to us as flight does to an eagle. The human graces, for instance, are that we make choices. This is a big one because not many beings do that. And this is where we actually start directing the crystals because we make choice, they don't. It's one of our graces to expand and learn new skills. Always learning, expanding. So one of our graces to actually replicate beauty and to seek the unfathomable. These are common human graces. Crystal's graces are quite different. One of the first graces we can talk about is the ability to amplify, focus, and direct. Whatever you put into, they can amplify. They can actually gather energy and focus as force, they bring harmony to resonance, which means that energies can be brought into harmony, so they work together. That can mean many things, like with people, for instance. calm those two people's energy field to understand each other. It becomes complex, makes communication easier. You get different things working together that turns into a kind of co-creation, so you enhance each other, creates an integrity with the different energies you work with. They can cause transformation. They tend to facilitate change. So all these graces, therefore, when we work with us, we can see there's a co-creation going on. We bring certain things to the table, Quibbles bring other qualities to the table, and we work together to make a whole magic, what we call co-creation. See, in this age, a lot of people think that the highest truth is that we create our reality, but actually that's only the current high. The higher truth is that we co-create our reality. We don't do it alone. We realize more and more as we wake up that we are connected. We have many helpers, there's a whole universe out to support us. We need to take the different components of this universe to make our magic complete. So crystals is one of our greatest allies. So easy to use once you actually understand them. The concept of a crystal is the easiest thing to work with us to actually amplify our magic, bring harmony, focus, and help change, healing and everything. All change, all healing is a form of change and transformation. We're trying to change something inside ourselves, release negative patterns and so on. Crystals bring about that transformation. So that's basically what they do. Of course, they can individually do many things, but these are the common graces of crystals. We'll talk more about those in the course, actually. But what I'm going to talk about now is how we actually connect to the spirit of a crystal. Because it's a conscious thing. Remember, it's far beyond this physical thing you see. It's conscious, actually beyond time and space. They're actually unable to measure time and space. They're totally unencumbered by them. So it doesn't really matter if your crystal is in front of you or miles away. You can talk to it just as easily. You may have a limitation, but the crystal doesn't. It doesn't matter where it is physically. Its spirit is beyond time and space. So any crystal you want to work with, it doesn't really matter if it's with you physically or not. But if you're going to work with a crystal, you need to welcome it properly to make a connection to its spirit. So we build up that relationship of co-creation. There's several components of this connection. It can be done quite simply in meditation. There's no exact ritual to it. You can ritualize as much as you like. But there are certain things you become aware of in the process of connecting. If you've got a crystal now, you can actually hold it and have a feel of this. The first thing is to be hold the crystal a moment and just play with it a bit, feel a connection, kind of holding it and squeezing it so you're making friends with it. When you begin to connect with it, the first thing you have to do is realize that you have certain graces and it has certain graces that are different. You need to realize they're different qualities and you can work together. So almost like you're holding it, you're simply becoming aware of that. You gradually feel that connection forming. You also let it, you touch the crystal's majesty and magnificence, and let it touch your magnificence. Even if you don't think you have any, the crystal recognizes it. We are magnificent beings inside. So you're touching it on a deeper level, realize it's majestic and magnificent, and it's also feeling that in you. So by allowing that realization, you learn a deeper connection. You begin to realize that you can work together because you have different powers. You begin to feel a co-creation forming. Also, you then welcome something more that comes to the crystal. See, each crystal, because they are co-creators, always have something with them. Not physical, but there's a certain energy, a certain spirit, a certain God form, whatever, that each crystal works with. When you hold the crystal and start tuning to it, you begin to feel what's behind it, what's with it. It's also an important part of co-creation. It's not just the crystal's working, but you've got something with it, some divine consciousness. So you begin to actually feel that there. You welcome that too. And finally, simply say to the crystal, welcome into my keeping. That's made the connection. It's now with you. So you don't so much buy a crystal, but you pay for the privilege of being its keeper, because it's not something you own, but you're keeping it to work with as a co-creator. Because that gives the crystal purpose as well. Remember, we make choice. Other beings don't always have choice. Crystals don't have choice. That's our grace, not theirs. So we make the choices that they decide what to amplify. We're helping them as well, giving them purpose, giving them expression in our reality. So it's not as if you're kind of using it in a way and that's kind of unbalanced. No, it's fulfilling to them too. This is co-creation. You both bring to the table what you want to do and work together. Co-creation isn't just about asking somebody to help you with what you want to do. It's about finding common purpose so you work together. You realize the crystal does have a common purpose. It does want to work because it wants to amplify something. It wants to direct something. It wants to manifest something. It wants to harmonize something. So it already has purpose. You give it a choice and it works together. And therefore, whatever magic you work with is therefore greatly increased. Now, apart from that, we can actually look individually at a crystal to actually see other properties that it might reveal to you. Some of this you can actually recognize. I've put more of this in my course, different kind of inclusions, so on, and how, what they mean. But also, you let the crystal tell you a story. You start looking into it, you let it play with the imagination. There'll be certain shapes in it which remind you of something, suggest something to you. So you kind of let a kind of dream state kind of occur. And so you begin to feel what it, how it works while it's with you. So you're revealing when you start looking at crystal this way, because you begin to realize that crystal already knows everything you need. It's come for a purpose. You see reflection in there, all things you really need. Simple example, I've got a little crystal here I'm going to hold up. This one's actually a phantom, so I'll just see in the camera at the moment. But I'll hold it here. It's phantom because it's actually another crystal growing inside it. You might see the forms there. When that crystal is has a phantom, it actually has a much stronger will. These actually create a manifestor crystals. Another thing you could look at is the number of edges around the fake maiden face. A crystal with seven edges opposite three is a transmitter receiver. This is a transmitter face, this is a receiver face. So there's two common purposes to see this crystal straight away. It's a manifestor, and it's a transmitter receiver. So by looking at the certain inclusions, you can actually have an idea of what each crystal wants to do.
And I'd just like to say that in the course, we have a detailed video and we have diagrams so that you're able to identify all of these characteristics yourselves in your current crystals that you have and any crystals that you might gain into your keeping in the future. So all of these examples are given to you. And Peter, please may I ask you just to slow down slightly. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes, yeah, so there are pictures, lots of close-up photos to show things in the course. It's hard to actually do it on here. I'll give you examples here. So this crystal, it can be used both to transmit and receive, but also as a creator manifester. Perfectly, we want to manifest something, for instance. And also, we all like to manifest things. That's what we're often what we're into magic for, whether it's more money or relationship or new home, whatever it is. The crystal will actually help manifest that, because that's what it does. That's what it's good at. You find a crystal that does that job you want to do, and you've got perfect co-creation. As it's not about finding the crystal and telling it what to do. It's finding a crystal that wants to do that particular job. So in this case, if I want to manifest something, I'd use this kind of crystal, one with a phantom. Although you may find many other crystals that will want to work with you. One with a phantom is definitely a manifestor. That's already telling you that. So get a phantom crystal and you can use that to manifest your goals. I want to briefly show you also the points in which to charge it. You see a crystal has several axes. What you call the C axis is from head to tip, long middle. There's also three other axes are going along to each opposite face. But the point of entry of power is actually somewhere up, on one spot up this side somewhere. So you feel for it. You run your fingers along the side of the crystal, you often find a sense of spot where there's energy flowing. It's like a tingle between them, but there's a flow of energy. When you find that spot, it's going to be the same height at each face. So in charge, I'm going to hold these points. Here's a point of access to actually fully access the contents of the crystal so it picks up your message more easily. Doing this makes it saves a lot of trouble with accidents because otherwise crystal picks up everything. If you actually hold a particular point, then the crystal knows now you're programming it. Otherwise, it's spinning around, possibly picking up any possible thought going around that you don't necessarily want to amplify. When you think about that, there's a reason why we have time in between what we create and in between a thought and what they create. Otherwise, it'd be chaos. If every thought you had manifested, it'd be complete chaos in your life. I mean, how many negative thoughts do you have in a day? It's like I'm talking to you now, and I suddenly think, what it's like in the Bahamas, I'm gone. You know, it messes everything up. If I think, what happened to run over a bus, I'm dead. You know, we've got to have time, there's a cushion between our thoughts and what they manifest. So we can actually discriminate, choose which of these thoughts we're going to bring into manifestation. So having some limitations on how we program is a safety device. So crystals have this built in. You hold the right points, and then you have access to its consciousness, which will hold your program. First thing you do is cleanse the crystal because it might have other programs in other things it picked up. You do it at those points as well. All I have to do is hold those points. I breathe in as I lift my arms and blow out as a drop and do the same on the next pair of faces. Then finally, the third time on the last pair of faces. That is now removing any other programs from the crystal, so it's ready to accept a new program. Simple, isn't it?
Again, full video instructions are given in the new course content, how to cleanse your crystals, where the axes are, where the points, the faces are. So you'll be able to, again, self-sufficiently look at your own crystals and you'll be able to identify all of these characteristics and do all of these things for yourself.
So you may see many methods people describe of cleansing crystals can take ages. Look how quickly it is when you understand how to work with this consciousness. Or if you once made a connection with it and welcomed it, it'll respond to you much faster. You then program to the same points. I don't have to actually do any big motions in this case. I simply hold those points. Same points I can do with when I do a program. Think of what I want to do. Put a quote book in there, turn it again, put the same program in, turn it into the third pair of faces, put a quote program in there, then the crystal has got your program. So this case is a manifestor, so I'll think of what I want to manifest. And then let you the crystal working on it, and it's working at 24/7. Think about crystals, you know, as if they're given a choice, and then that's all they're going to work on now until you get a new program. When we visualize, we only have so much time a day, don't we? Because we have many things to do. It's like having somebody sitting there now. Visualize my goal 24/7. Just think of how what that can mean in terms of how fast you manifest. Everything's really speeded up. You've got somebody, consciousness, I mean, we're just as divine, we can create just as crystal can. The difference is now the crystal is doing it with us, but also doing it 24/7. We still do our part because we're co-creators. We don't leave the crystal to everything for us. We actually visualize, maybe just what today, you know, 33 seconds is all it takes, and the crystal is doing the rest by working with us. So the crystal is beyond time. It doesn't matter how long we visualize for. The crystal is still co-creating 24/7. For us to visualize, we're going to have to do it for 33 seconds because that's how long it takes for the neurons in the brain to fire before the message goes out into the ethers, as it were. If you do that for 33 seconds and then leave the crystal working, it's going to manifest sooner or later. That's how easy it is. And as I was saying earlier, it's like these days we have so much to do. We need to do our metaphysics faster. We often have lots of goals to manifest and they're taking too long. Crystals are going to help manifest things fast. Okay, that one's doing that job now. Bring another crystal for another job. Everything's been done. Everything's been taken care of. I don't have to spend ages and ages every day working on it. We have many other things to do. So we're making it much faster. So when it comes to healing, facilitating change, there are several crystals I'd use for that. One of the best ones for breaking down negative patterns is smoky quartz. If you've got a smoky quartz, this is slightly smoky as well, so I could use that too. Again, I hold the points, cleanse it, and then I actually simply think of what block I want to release. If I'm aware of a problem I've got, whether it's a habit or, you know, whatever it is, I put the program of breaking that down into the crystal, then leave it running. I put it by the bed and it's working overnight. And then I find my blockages being broken down and soon later it's gone. So it makes transformation healing really easy. Now, there are other crystals you can do for transformation, but work in a different way. The smoky quartz is a good slow, but breaking down from its roots. The citrine is quicker, but actually it doesn't break it down from roots. It simply lifts you out of a certain emotional state. So for instance, you want to keep your mind positive. You want to do some manifestation and do negative thoughts into your mind. Use a citrine. Program that keep you positive. Because a citrine cannot store negative energy. It'll always transmute it. If you hold a citrine long enough, no matter how much negative you have, soon later you'll be thinking positively because the citrine can't hold that. It'll win. You won't be able to stay negative. So if you have a citrine then and program it to keep you positive, that's what you'll do. It's going to lift you up into a higher positive state. But that's not the same as actually breaking the bottom down from its roots, you see. So we use different crystals in different ways. If I want to do some manifestation, I might have a positive thinking crystal there to actually keep me positive to do it. On the other hand, I might have a smoky quartz working to break it down permanently, which will take a bit longer. So there's an example of how a crystal can be used to actually help you transform. There's a couple of examples I've given there. You can find many more just by welcoming your crystal and actually seeing what it wants to do. As I said, you look at its different markings, let it tell you a story, have a feeling of it. You'll know why the crystal is with you and what it's going to help you with. So any questions so far?
Yes, we do have some questions. And I'd just like to confirm to everyone as well that all of these activities that Peter is talking about, welcoming the crystal, working with talisman, etc., there are multitude of guided meditations in the Crystal Magic course as well to help you see what it is that your crystal wants to work with. And what it is that it wants to achieve, what goals it wants to attain, so that you know that you're picking the right crystals for the right things. Also, list of example crystals, what they can be used for, the types of crystals that you'll use for particular outcomes. And I'm just going to share my screen quickly. So hopefully you can see here, this is just an example of the manual. There are some diagrams showing you the axis. We have example pictures in here. Lots of example pictures so you can see. lots of activities, and also you are given some talismans as well to work with to amplify the impact of the work that the crystals are doing. And as I said before, if my control panel will move out the way, thank you very much. As I said before, there is also a video. We have many videos in here demonstrating the types of crystals, the qualities of them, and the processes that you can use. And even one of my favorite videos is you actually get to see Peter cleansing a crystal. So you see the static that the crystal is creating in the pendulum prior to the cleansing process and the charging process. And then you get to see the harmony that's created as a result of this process. So he literally shows you how crystals can be cleansed and how they can be charged to bring them to bring their resonance into harmony, etc. So all of these demonstration videos are given to you as well in this content. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen there, and then we will go over to the questions. So I have a couple of pre-submitted questions regarding crystals, first of all, and then after that I'll get to all of your other questions. So first one then, please, Peter, regarding crystals, is how can I make the most out of an azurite
is a form of moldavite, similar structure, but it's black and it comes from meteorite, so it does have this extraterrestrial energy about them. As such, they tend to open you up to other levels. They're very good for channeling. You can be charged for, say, for opening to channel to clear third eye, to make connection to higher self. It can open to you anything, so you open accordingly, according to what you're open to. Very good channeling crystal. That's the main thrust, but also because it has this extraterrestrial quality, it can actually hold programs in many ways. Both moldavites and azurites, which are going to have a similar structure, have a strong will as well. They can be used for all kinds of magic. Because they're extraterrestrial, they don't have such a sense of human limitations. They can have much wider ideas of what you can come to. So if you've got something strange you want to do, that's the thing to go for. It has new ideas. It can channel, it can actually give you new inspiration, but also it can work any kind of magic. You can take an azurite and actually any program you want to put into it, it'll amplify. Even like some of the more traditional ancient magic techniques, it'll actually work with those very well. You almost have it in its memory, in its knowledge. You could do some ritual, you know, even your voodoo, whatever. Put it as you write into that and charge it, and it'll keep repeating that ritual and putting it out there to make it more powerful. So it has a great deal of versatility in both channeling and actually amplifying your magic. So along those lines, use it any way you want.
I think you've kind of answered the next question, because it is, why is moldavite such a dark crystal stroke glass in its energy? What energy or beings is it linked to?
Okay, first of all, it isn't actually dark in itself. What it will do, though, is amplify what's in you and bring it out. So something to look at carefully. It'll often bring out your shadow. It's not the dark crystal that's dark. It's actually bringing out what's dark in you. So moldavite is, like the azurite, is actually very much an opening, channeling one. The difference in the world will open up deep parts of yourself, like shadow, your ego, all the stuff you don't like to look at, which actually you need to look at if you want to transform. So it's a great door opener to get into your unconscious and start transforming things. Plus, like there's this lighting used to amplify your magic. So it's not actually a dark crystal in itself, but it can actually feel that way, that it's actually bringing your darkness out. What it's linked to is almost like it's hard to put in human terms, because, as I said, being from another planet, from outer space, is not linked to our human concepts of gods and things. It's almost like an alien consciousness, but it's pure consciousness, pure power. This can seem dark because it's like how you relate to power. You've got raw power here, you're going to use it. It almost has no conscience on it, no discrimination. It's just power. So really, how you relate to it, it depends on how you relate to power. But people are afraid of power, they think they're going to misuse it, but why would you? There's fears of all things that are powerful, but actually fear and power often go hand in hand. Where your fear lies is where you're going to find your power. It's a doorway. So think of it that way. It's pure power. It'll actually bring out aspects of yourself that you haven't wanted to look at yet.
What type of crystal would you use to add to your drinking water for healing and change the structure of the water to be healthier?
Best ones for that would be citrine or Herkimer diamond, simply because these are two crystals which have a very high vibration and will never store negativity. They'll make the energy positive. course, you can plug them as well with anything you like. I might use the 3 ounce, which is a good energy pattern, the divine blueprint of how we are when we're at our healthiest. You can put mantras into it, which should have a high vibration, whatever you want that put into that water. But those are two crystals that will always make it positive.
From Barbara, I have some shungite here. Is it true it will protect me against electromagnetic forces?
All crystals do to a degree. It all depends how you use it. Yes, charge it for that reason and it'll help. But to really protect you, I would suggest using a simple quartz, but using some of the journeys mentioned in the course, you go inside it and connect to its axis. In meditation, you go inside the crystal. The crystal has, remember, it has its C-axis and its A-axis. The axis is going out to the middle. If you go inside the crystal meditation, stand in that axis, you feel this flow of energy right up through you. It's almost like you put yourself inside the crystal, you feel it all around you. You can actually keep that connection. So the crystal is around you with this energy flowing through all the time, and that'll keep you clear. So it's a case of how you use it. If you actually connect the crystal meditation that way and put yourself inside it, you'll feel that flow, and it'll be all around you, protecting you. When you're inside that, no electromagnetism can get in and bother you. It keeps your energy flowing and positive. So it's best to use it in that way.
Question from Kieran. Can you please talk about the crystal oscillator frequencies? There is a wide range of frequencies. What do you recommend? Can some be overpowering? And how do you find the resonant frequency? What crystals can hold electricity, like some quartz, but that we can generate electricity from? So there's multiple questions there.
There are, but I want to win a curveball here. You see, crystals have their own frequency. Each crystal has a precise frequency. That's why they use them in things like digital watches. You stimulate electrically and it produces a precise frequency. It's so exact, it'll even actually time your watch by it. Therefore, each crystal has a frequency anyway. When you're trying to put a different frequency into it, it's not quite natural for that crystal. However, a crystal being alive is capable of adjusting its frequency to what you want, provided you can communicate that to it. And actually, the crystals themselves don't have enough of the communication with us to actually give it to understand that, whereas we have something in between, such as a tree spirit. Traditionally, we make healing wands by having a tree spirit cut life from the tree and attach a crystal to that to work together. So a tree spirit can actually measure your body's frequency and tell the crystal what frequency to produce to enhance you. You want something conscious and intelligent together that will work with you. Fixed frequencies, you never quite know how the crystal is going to respond to how you're going to respond. Whether it's supposed to be healthy, like you've got sort of a geophrequency and so on, they're useful. It's not making full potential of the crystal's capacity. They're highly intelligent, and combined with the tree spirit, they can give you exactly what you need to heal you and change anything you want.
Thank you. And I'm going to just ask you once more, please, if you could slow down just slightly. Thank you very much, so that we can hear all this wonderful information that you're giving. Next question is, how do you download the extraterrestrial currents, energies that come from angels and God, etc., that come through thunderstorms and lightning that enter the earth and into the crystals? How do you then download those energies from the crystal?
It's easy. You hold the simple point I showed you, the point of access where the energy comes between you and the crystal. Energy you want to receive from the crystal, hold those points and simply ask the crystal to give it to you. It'll flow very easily.
Could you hold the crystal up just slightly and do that again?
Same as when I showed the cleansing, you find the points of access here, turn it around, do the same thing in the opposite faces, and you hold those points when you ask the crystal to give you the energy. Of course, if you first take the time to welcome the crystal, as I said earlier, it will flow much faster for you. So making that connection to the crystal, it will do everything for you. But holding the right points is the access point of energy. So all you have to do, if the crystal's got energy, hold it there and receive it, basically.
Thank you. And there were some questions about where to buy trusted sources to buy crystals. And obviously, people are going to have their own sources, depending on what country you're in, etc. And whether you'd like to buy physical or whether you're happy to buy online. But Peter, is there anything that you want to say about, you know, when you're buying crystals, anything to be mindful of?
The only thing I've found problems is actually with the Chinese suppliers, which give you cut things and which are not natural, even glass, which is made to look like a crystal. Like sometimes you buy a quartz and it's been cut. It's not a natural point. There's no life in that. If you just take a lump of crystal and cut it into a point, then it's not the same as a real point. It's not alive. So it'd be good to be, if you were to look at the pictures, to make sure it's a real one, because you can tell, because it's like you look at a real crystal, it's like, it's not perfectly symmetrical, there's different type of faces. If it's like perfectly cut to six equal points, it's like, no, that's been cut. That's not how crystals are. It looks like a piece of glass that's cut. Apart from that, I mean, crystals, if they are damaged, can be healed. That's part of the things we do in the course. There's a talisman for doing that. It'll actually heal any damage the crystal has picked up, because they do go through trauma themselves as well. So it's hard to say exactly which of the suppliers are better, because it all depends on who's had them before, really, what energy's gone into it. But also, how they've been cut. Some people actually do cut crystals and make shapes out of them, like crystal skulls and various crystal pickers. A sensitive carver will pick out what the crystal wants to be. Some crystals are cut in simply the wrong form. Take crystal skulls, for instance. Certain crystals have skull consciousness. They want to be brought into a skull. Other crystals don't. You cut the wrong crystal into a skull and that skull isn't functioning as it should. It doesn't have that consciousness. So really, you have to be intuitive to do this when you pick up for that, things like that, as you go around to the warehouse yourself to feel them. Otherwise, you don't know. But otherwise, most crystals, if you get symbol quartz points, as long as you don't get one of these kind of cut ones, which are quite common in China, you know, they'll work.
What about my crystal skull? Is it all right?
Well, it can be changed by putting in the person, remember. It can be healed.
Does this one want to be in a skull?
Worth to ask it. Really, you have to feel a crystal by looking to its flaws and its inclusions and everything to actually see what its consciousness is about, what it wants to do. What skulls really are kind of record keepers. They have memory, they store everything. And a skull is a perfect shape to hold those memories and also to relate them to us. You hold a crystal skull and you can actually transfer to you all the memories that crystal has, which is going to be thousands of years worth and multidimensional. So they're very useful for that. But the idea is that crystal actually wants to be a skull.
I'm not really convinced, but anyway. Okay, next question. Can I program a crystal with several different tasks? For example, drawing liquid energies from bodies and, for example, manifesting, or do I have to buy a crystal for each topic?
Best to set one task per crystal so I can get on with it, working on it probably. Some crystals have more than one program. Like, for instance, I like to use the double terminated quartz because each point holds another elemental spirit, so there's like two spirits working together. I'll give that to two tasks which are in harmony with each other. So it works from different aspects. Otherwise, I'd stick one program to a crystal at a time, let it work on that one. Using more focus, more direction. Remember, the crystals like to focus and direct. They don't like to be scattered.
Going back quickly to skull consciousness, which crystals have skull consciousness?
Well, it's not the type of crystal, it's each individual one. It can be a quartz, it can be an amethyst, you know, the type of crystal you have, but certain individual crystals want to be a skull. Only a few certain ones, not all of them. There's no easy way to actually determine that. You have to actually feel it. You have to communicate with it.
Marianne was the person who asked the questions about the azestolite and moldavite, and then she's put a comment here saying, my one is clear, not black. So I think that's in reference to your response to her questions.
Well, the azestolite.
I'm not sure. Marianne, could you please clarify that, and then I'll get back to that in a moment.
Show us it.
Yeah, let's carry on and we can come back to that one. We have a lot of... pronunciation. We have a lot of obsidian in the house. How can I work best with them?
Obsidian, you mean?
Yeah, that one. Thanks, Peter.
It's a kind of a volcanic glass, so it's amorphous. It's not like a point. It likes to be even a blob as it is, or curved into a ball. It's one of the best ways. See, certain crystals do actually act better as a sphere. Spheres change the resonance, how it relates to everything around it. Spheres are very good for harmonizing resonance. What an obsidian ball will do is actually help you attune to any psychic vibrations to improve your clairvoyance. The dark color is actually very much attuned to the third eye. So an obsidian ball is perfect for scrying, you know, looking into the ball, letting it stimulate your third eye to start having visions and things.
Merlinite. Is it a stone or a crystal?
Which one?
Merlinite.
Yeah, this is what comes from chalcedony. You can divide crystals into two basic kinds, to, you know, just to kind of classify them. You have quartzes, and that includes all the points, including apophyllites, which have four sides, and amethysts and citrines and smoky and all those, they're all forms of quartz. All the other ones which are formless, don't have a point, come under chalcedonies. So all these things like the howlites and the ventrines and motagates and the, you know, various things like that, and the merlinite, all forms of chalcedony. They won't have a V axis, they'll have one point in them, one axis in them somewhere. So they become very useful to actually amplify other programs. The most programmable ones are the quartzes, but if you place other crystals around it, which bring extra energy, they can back up the basic program. Merlinite, as its name suggests, linked to Merlin, is linked to magic. If you want to actually bring some more magic into reality, like you're sitting with a transformation of crystals become more magical, you might set the program into crystal quartz and put some melanite around it or next to it to actually back up that vibration.
Remy's testing my pronunciation skills. So Remy has lots of rhodochrosite. Yeah, from Argentina. I love it so much. Could you please share your thoughts on it? Not me, Remy. Loves it.
It's a very good healer for the heart. See, there's certain crystals we often use to heal the heart, which are actually not so safe, such as the rose quartz, because it's really seen a loving crystal because it's pink and all that and nice. But actually, it's easily contaminated. The rhodochrosite is stronger. It'll actually strengthen the heart and actually it won't pick up so much negative. It'll actually help it clear and strong, so you don't go for all your heartbreaks and things. It makes it stronger, basically, so you're less kind of prone to emotional traumas and heartbreaks and things because you love yourself more. It strengthens self-love, which is it gives the heart its strength. It makes it stronger. If you're firmly in self-love, you don't need so much love from the outside. You don't get so needy and don't get so traumatized. It's a really good heart protector and strengthener.
And one more stone, Ethiopian Wello Opal. What do you think about it? I can feel that it's very powerful but fragile at the same time. How can I work with it in the best way?
All opals actually have a whole range of frequencies to them. They're actually very versatile. They're really good for the aura in general because they bring all the frequencies you need to actually balance every chakra. So that one in particular will actually, yes, it's very good for the, particularly the earth vibrations, the lower chakras. It affects all the chakras to a degree, but strengthens the lower ones more. Gives strong earthy vibration to actually build from the earth. So you have a strong, let's say, chi from the earth in which gradually builds all your chakras. So it's very healing and grounding at the same time. That balances all your chakras. It feeds each chakra the vibration it needs. As we're talking about using frequencies before, then crystals, all the opals do that by themselves. They can actually give you a whole range of frequencies that you need. Once you've programmed in, welcomed it, it'll feel you, know what you need, and give you every vibration that strengthens you and balances you.
Lulu has a best friend from Devon. It's a heart-shaped pebble that she loves it, and the pebble loves to do chandali with her. I actually didn't find it, but it called me to come. Do I have to cleanse my best friend? She asks.
Also to cleanse them. Remember, the ones which are shaped rather than pointy will have one axis on it somewhere. So you feel around it, find the points either side, and do a cleansing on it, and then also program it and welcome it as usual.
Would placing a crystal on the magnetron symbol from the psionics course amplify the power even more?
It can if you ask it to do so. Remember, crystals deprogramming need to be told what to do. See, the crystal acts as a good focal point to gather in the heart and enhance energy. The magnetron symbol is meant to do that, but it's just a symbol. You know, it hasn't got time to ground it. A crystal is a good grounding that symbol to actually do the job properly, because the magnetron is trying to do what crystals do naturally. Good thing about a magnetron, you can actually attach things around the other points of the place you want to draw energy from. That's the insight in my sonics course. I've used Egyptian temples, I've been to the pyramids and so on, to actually anchor them in. So it's drawing upon all those. Once you put a crystal on top, it's going to actually do it more efficiently because that crystal is now working with that particular program and actually has more experience in drawing energy and then amplifying it. It'll make it stronger. So yeah, if you want to use sonics or radionics, put crystals on the machines, on the symbols, we'll amplify them.
Can you share the application and your experience about Andara crystals, please?
I don't have a lot of experience with Andara crystals, but not in that one in particular. Though, you know, I said, like with all crystals, just welcome it and feel what it wants to do with you. If it's with you, it's there for a purpose. When you look at its particular markings, each individual one will have a reason for being with you.
Could you please share your thoughts on Moldavite and how we can use it in rituals so that it keeps repeating it?
It will do it anyway. As soon as you put a program into it, it'll keep doing that until it do something else. So it's very easy. You know, you hold the Moldavite when you're doing a ritual. The intention of this Moldavite is going to store that ritual and repeat it, then just leave it doing its work. You can put it on the top of a talisman if you want to. Quite often you were doing the same ritual magic, you might have a sigil or a talisman. Leave the mold on the sigil and it'll keep working. It'll keep doing exactly what you've done with it. You'll do it automatically. There's nothing else you have to do.
How would you program a crystal bead bracelet with fairy spells, say for something like healing?
Same way as you do with anything. See, with the fairy magic, it's a little bit different because you don't necessarily have to experience crystal magic on stuff, fairy magic. You can program anything when you go into that meditation. So like I've got the belt basically with beads in it, for instance. In this case, I do each bead individually to put a spell into it. I just hold it, go into the meditation with the fairy spells and charge it. Simple. And each bead can be charged with a different spell, so you've got a whole load of them on you.
Hopefully that answers your question, Rachel. from Jennifer now, is it possible to work with crystals that have been shaped into an egg?
Oh, yeah. Egg is a little bit different. As I mentioned, the sphere is a particular form because it changes how it works. It harmonizes resonance. An egg, being linked to this whole symbol of being of birth, has a sense of actually birthing new things, potential. Eggs are very good for activating potential, birthing things, basically starting, beginning. As such, are very good for some concentrated sort of deities like Ganesha, who open doors and actually start things off and get things moving. New potential, activating new potential, basically. It's a door opener. Depends which kind of egg, of course, because each crystal will be kind of different. If you say carved quartz, it has its point, it changes its nature already. If it's more of a chalcedony type, such an agate or something, and then it's different. An agate will have their own properties anyway. Say a moth agate is very earthy. An aventurine is very much good for matters of love and the heart. Say an aventurine egg would be really good for manifesting relationship, for instance. So it all depends on the kind of crystal you have in the shape of an egg. But basically, it's activating new potential.
Thank you. So Marianne has confirmed that it is her azestolite that is clear, not dark.
Like, totally clear, like a quartz, you mean? That is quite odd, because azestolite's usually black.
Yes, it is completely clear.
Well, that's a very special one. But again, it'll be an amplifier. Being clear just shows its nature is actually more being kind of almost like see-through. It's like you have more ability to actually go deeper into what you want to see. There's less cloudiness about that because the energy will be much purer. So it'll actually bring energy from anywhere, but in a very pure form. A clear azestolite is going to take you to a very pure place of the universe where light comes in, such as Sirius. You see, the universe is holographic. There's some places it comes into a hologram. If you consider the universe as a spherical hologram, you know how a hologram works, trying to beam when it produces a 3D image. With a spherical hologram, you're trying to beam into a hole. Multiple reflections create a whole universe inside it. This is actually how the universe is. It's a spherical hologram. The direction of energy that comes into our universe from where we are is the direction of Sirius. It doesn't mean Sirius itself is what does it. That's the direction to which energy comes in. So something like a clear azestolite is going to take you to that source, to the purest place where energy enters our universe, into that bubble, where it's still very pure, hasn't been changed into anything yet. Pure potential, but also pure beauty. So the first energy that enters our universe is beauty. And beauty is actually a combination of joy with peace, exhilaration with serenity. Things we see as beautiful are simply things which trigger those feelings in us. See, life is based on joy, but joy in itself is too fiery without the peace. Joy and peace together is what gives everything purpose and depth and power, and that's beauty. That's the first energy that comes into the universe, and it's the root of all our magic. Magic source and beauty will always work. So use that crystal to access the source of beauty that comes to the universe. It's pure power. It'll remind you actually stay in touch with beauty to work your magic as well, keeping that space.
Thank you. So somebody else is asking that they would like to know about Andara as well. So is there anything that you want to say about it, even though you've had no experience with it?
I can tune into it a minute. Do you want to tell me? Yeah, it holds a very particular resonance because Andara is almost like a place, like another dimension, another planet. It's almost a space of resonance, so it's bringing a particular energy, but not one particular place. It's meshed to our world. It's basically to bring a new hope. We got so much stuck into a kind of mess in our way. Like, yeah, we've messed everything up, and it's hard to actually figure it all out and make a better world out of it. Sometimes it's something totally new. Resonance of a place that's already done it. It's a place where there's harmony, a place where there's spirituality, a place where the kind of world we want to create as spiritual beings. Therefore, it helps you actually give you more strength to do that. So, you know, if you want to actually create a better world here and not get caught up down all the traumas happening, all the kind of corruption, all the horrible things in the news, it's like you want to create a better world, but all this mess is happening, helps you stand at resonance of a better world. Because it's tuned to a place where it's already done.
Thank you. So we have time for just a couple more questions before we move on to our next workshop. So how can you tell when a crystal needs to be cleansed? Can you place a smoky quartz next to all your crystals so that they become all self-cleansing?
You can program any crystal to be self-cleansing, but actually after every program, when you want to give a new program, you need to cleanse it with the old one. So anytime you want to put a new program into crystal, I'd cleanse it first to make sure it's not holding onto anything else. So it's focused on this one goal. That's how a crystal works best. So I'd just cleanse every time you're going to put a new program in. Also, any new crystal you get, program it, cleanse it from anybody else because you don't know what the last person's left in it. It picks up all kinds of energy. So you don't want to interfere with your particular programs. You want your program on your program 100% without any interference. So always cleanse a new crystal and cleanse it for any program.
Could you please tell us about superconscious crystal that acts like a master teacher crystal, conscious crystal, unconscious crystal, and how do you train the dyad inside the crystal so that it can provide more than what they can provide in the future? Oh, I hope I said that okay. Do you want me to say that again?
That's okay, I get you.
Good.
The crystal doesn't have the same measure of consciousness we do. It's very vast and unlimited. No time and space is beyond everything. Superconscious, unconscious, subconscious things we have. The crystal is no different. You can access all of those. But sometimes you have to tell it which ones you want to work with. It's really easy to pick any crystal and tell it to work with those levels, so you know what they are. You actually, but it's really useful to actually make sure it works on all levels. So if you want to do some healing, you tell the crystal to work on your superconscious, unconscious, subconscious, any conscious mind. You know, you can tell it to do that. But obviously some programs work better on one of those. Like for instance, you're working on your emotional blocks, they're more the subconscious. Working on those deeper instincts, you work on the unconscious. Working with the higher self connections, you work on the superconscious. Crystal can access all of those. It doesn't have a limitations consciousness. It's vast and limitless, every level. It's funny how we call these things as well, because the unconscious is actually the most conscious part of us. It's vast. It's not linked to our mental present, what we call conscious minds, but actually is much vaster. So to call the unconscious unconscious is actually not a good name. It is the most conscious part of us. So we have to look carefully how we label these things. The crystal won't see it in the same way. It's just consciousness, all of it. But you can actually lead the crystal to which area you want to work on.
So as you can all tell, there is a wealth of information about crystals out there. And a lot of it has been put into Peter's course so that you can access the true power of crystals for yourself. And so you can connect to the crystals in this special way. So just once more, if I just share my screen, the link to the early bird price so that as many of you as possible can get access to this course is being put in the chat now. And you can see there is lots of topics that Peter goes through here. There's example videos, there are meditations for you to go through to meet the talisman, to go on these journeys into the crystals, into the galaxies that the crystals take you to. There's guidance on how to cleanse, to charge. There's talismans to help you cleanse and charge your crystals to amplify. There's demonstrations on how to create grids and other things. There's so much you can do.
The most important part of it, though, is the magic. It's the meditation, the initiation to actually awaken the real power of them, connect to the crystal keepers and to the source of crystal consciousness. It's making that connection the important thing so that all magic works.
Mm.
Is it very much initiated journey?
And you enable that in the first meditation, is that right?
All of them take you through different stages. The first, basically the first meditation, it actually brings all kinds of helpers that are going to work with you through the whole course. The other meditations are actually taking into crystal consciousness to meet the keepers, to meet the kind of artisans of the past, Atlantis and Mu and so on, to go into crystal consciousness itself. So you're making that connection to what the power is really about. So it awakens in you. You can draw all the crystal universe, all the crystal power of the universe and all universes. It'll all be with you. It's going to become vast and limitless. It's basically a whole initiatory journey. Plus techniques to actually work with it.
And chanting and putting headphones on your crystals as well.
Yeah, the crystals can pick it up. If you want to charge a crystal with some mantras, you put the headphones around the crystal and leave it playing, and the crystal will pick it all up. Easy.
Yeah. Did you want to say something quick about the special mantras that you have in the course?
We give us a number of examples because people were asking during some of the courses for things like abundance, love, protection, immortality, even. It doesn't make you, you know, really immortal, but also slow the aging down and cure sickness and so on. There's various programs for that, for enlightenment. You know, there's somebody given in the audio, so you actually play it straight to the crystal to pick those things up, make it easier. So there's a number there for abundance and love and healing and all sorts.
Yeah, so there's Peter reciting these mantras, and you can put the headphones on the crystal and the crystal picks up the charge from the mantras and then holds them and then just radiates those out. It's fantastic. So the link to the early bird price for the Crystal Magic course is now available in the chat for those of you that want to take advantage of that. And a reminder that we are now going into finding your soul's purpose. Again, if any of you who have not registered and want to join us, you can. It's not too late. The link will be put in the chat as well now, so you can come and join us for that, for an interactive workshop where Peter will be taking some of you live through helping you find your purpose. Worksheet, by the way, for those of you that were asking, the link is in the chat as well, so you can download that directly from the chat. And that is all we have time for today. Peter, is there anything else that you would like to say?
No, just that the purpose course starts in half an hour, okay, so you've got a little time for a break.
Yes, yeah, so everyone's got time, get a drink, pop to the loo, blah, 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 blah. Please ask anyone who hasn't yet. Yep. So anyone who hasn't yet registered for the workshop, who wants to join or hasn't yet registered for the Zoom link. Yes. Yeah, so if you've paid, you've joined the membership, or you've paid for the one-off workshop, but you haven't yet registered for the Zoom link, can you please make sure you do that so that you can come and join us? We will be starting on time. See you in 30 minutes. Please don't leave just yet. Oh, right. I think that's for me. Oh. You're very welcome, everybody. You lot can leave, but apparently I cannot leave. As I said, prices. Some of you might want to know the prices. Normally $177. It's now down to $147, is it, Peter?
Yep.
Yeah, $147 for the early bird price that you have available for the next 3 days. So please do take advantage of that.
Those who already bought the crystal course before, they can have the upgraded version for $27.
Yes, yep. As always, those of you that have the old materials and would like access to the new, and as I said, there are some super duper videos in there that really help bring this everything to life and shows you exactly what Peter's talking about, then you can get that for $27. As always, just let us know, email in with proof of your purchase or the dates that you attended a live workshop, and you will get access to those materials for $27. I think that's it. Oh, and we've got in the chat now, email there for the $27 link for those of you that want it, and links for everything else. Has anyone else got any final questions for me, for admin, about what's going to happen now, what's happening in the workshop? Well, I don't know what's happening in the workshop. I've got no idea. Don't ask me that. But how to get it, how to buy it, how to join us. If you've got any admin questions, you're welcome to ask. Well, I think that's it.
Yep, we'll stop there. So we've got half an hour break for the next workshop.
Yes, okay. Wonderful. Okay, Peter, if you want to go, you can, but we're just giving everyone the opportunity to get access to links, etc. All right?
Okay, then.
All right, thank you.
All right.
I bought the psychic protection course before it was unteachable, and then I bought it again when it did become unteachable, and then the smaller version as well. Is there any discount for people who have bought a course twice? Do you want to email that in? And then, yeah, use the Gmail email address, and then admin will be able to help you with that one. You're very welcome, everybody. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye then.
All right. Thanks, everyone.